when I first read the title of today's talk, I began to wonder. I know we've got lots of visionaries in Linux. I didn't realize that we had psychics as well. Robert McQueen is a member of the Jabber team. He wrote the man page for GNOME Remote. And also after a presentation to Voidac 2006 to the GNOME community, which was, of course, well attended and received, he generated a lot of interest, and that included an ongoing project to make Gossip use telepathy backends. The software demo even worked, which is amazing. Sometimes they don't, most times. Today, he is going to enlighten us and maybe use his telepathy into the future or whatever. Let me please welcome Robert McQueen.
Possibly with later versions of telepathy, I won't have to stand up and give a talk, because you'll all already know what it is. But at the moment, sort of reasonably early stages, I'm going to run through the rationale behind this telepathy framework, what it is, what we're trying to do, and where we are at the moment. So, introduction's already been done a bit. My name's Robert McQueen. I work for a British company called Calabro Limited. We're open source consultants, experts in voice over IP, streaming technologies, inter-messaging-based software. And the Telepathy project is kind of run by us. We started it out. And we're building some support in the community. Yeah. Right. Turn up on here or what? Can I just hold it? Is that better? No? Yeah, so, like here or something. Right, yeah, okay. Is that alright? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Alright, okay, cool. That's much better. Yeah, it never works. Alright, can you hear me now? Is that good? Okay, so, Calabro is this company which I founded. There's a couple other guys, and we work on the Telepathy framework. It's one of our main projects. So I started life in free software world as a Debian developer quite a few years ago now. I was a maintainer for the game package, which is where that exciting man page came from. But I went on there to spend a few years working with the game upstream, doing some patches, and I was certainly about that was a crazy patch writer. Went to university, set up a company, and now with my wisdom in the IM world from game, trying to make things a bit more sane. So first of all, I was going to try and give a rationale for why we need telepathy, or why we need to take a different approach than what's currently happening. And then look at sort of what the different kinds are doing and why I think we can do better. So the Unix way is the magic idea that, you know, we like. You know, you have little things, you stick them together, each thing does a simple, well-defined task, it works well. You put them together, you do complicated and cool stuff. So we have the IM client. It's doing one thing. Well, it's kind of doing some other things, actually. We've got like a UI part, which, you know, you're talking to, and then there's some protocol code, which is talking to the network. Except that's not really what's going on, because what you have is, you know, you've got this buddy list and people that are online, and then you're doing a chat, and it has logging as well. And now we've fortunately have three protocols, and that's really cool. So we're growing things up a little. You know, we've got file transfer now. We've got voice calling. We've got avatars. We've got support for, you know, 500 protocols you've never heard of. You know, maybe in MSN, the file transfer doesn't work too well because, you know, that's a bit hard. And the voice calling only works on SIP because, you know, in XMPP, it's not in Fed yet. But things are getting complicated. I mean, not to criticize game directly, but, you know, this is where all of the clients are headed. You start off with, you know, a nice client, you have support for some protocols, and you know, the users want new features, they want new protocols, they want new stuff. And you start heading towards this kind of multi-headed beast which eventually probably turned into Emacs. You can do email, this kind of thing. Right? So the game users want voice stuff. So Akiga, they've gone from H.263 to SIP now. And now they've written their own address book. And yeah, that's cool. You know, you can store your buddies and this kind of thing. You can have meta contacts. And now they're implementing IM stuff as well, because that, you know, you can do that over SIP. And Akiga's the SIP client, so we add IM support. And then, hey, you can do voice calling and IM over XMPP as well. So Akiga gets Google Talk as well. And, you know, got it. My XMPP client. Except people will come up the other protocols, and everything kind of turns into the same thing and comes from completely different directions. But you all end up doing the same kind of work. Basically, this sucks. This is a huge duplication of effort. So all of these people are using different libraries, different bits of code, different code bases, different historical developments, and all heading in the same direction, right? Everyone wants to support all these protocols, support all of these features. And the duplication of effort is harmful. We end up with completely separate approaches to the same problems. We end up with a situation where you have a choice of an IM client that does voice kind of badly or a voice client that does IM kind of badly. And they all have their own APIs, their own backends, and you can't put them into a desktop and integrate the functionality well without locking the bits of the desktop into one particular client. So, you know, in GNOME, sort of I'm a GNOME user, so I mean, my examples are GNOME, but I think the same thing applies to KDE in the same way, that you don't necessarily get proper integration between, you know, your address book and your IM client, or your email client doesn't show you people who are online. You can't start a file transfer from the file manager. This kind of thing happens. Because to implement that, you need an API to code to. And the APIs are all coming from these different separate projects and these different IM clients. So the idea behind Telepathy is that we kind of break down this beast. We move away from the idea of one gigantic program, which has these many heads and many legs and kind of doesn't really know where it's going. And we split stuff off into separate processes. The Telepathy API lets you run the protocols as kind of background services on your desktop. You have an API to, you know, go online, send messages, and start calls, and these connections and these backends can be used by different processes running on your desktop. So there's a kind of, you know, nicer version of the diagram that you actually split off the UI part, can run in different processes. You have some kind of IPC going on, and then you've got these backends which are running the multiple protocols. And those can be separate programs, the same programs, the kind of thing. The API doesn't force you to have these as separate things. It just gives you the flexibility. So this, I suggest, is a nicer approach. We get back to the whole Unix idea of doing things well, right? The people who like reverse engineering the MSN protocol produce a nice MSN backend. They don't care about, you know, whether it's Qt or GTK or, you know, what front end you have. The client can share the connections, because they're available over debug, so various processes running on your desktop can use the same connection objects. So you can actually have an IM client that does the IM stuff, you can have your address book doing your contacting stuff, and you can have a phone program that you run when you're making a phone call. And the UI guys can concentrate on doing those UI bits, and the protocol guys can do the protocol bits. So we're using Dbus for the IPC, which is, you know, free desktop standard. And it gives us a lot of independence from the language and the license of the software that you're using. So you can have like a closed, you know, Skype backend or, you know, whatever license it is, whatever language it is, you can hook it up onto Dbus and you can speak to the Telepathy API and get far better functionality and hopefully integrate everything into the desktop. So Telepathy is a free desktop project. So we're kind of cross-desktop effort. I've been to Guadec and given this talk. I've been to KDE and stood up for some of their talks and, you know, said, yeah, this is what we're doing. This is what you should sort of try and work with. The huge, most important thing you should take away from this is that, right, we've written some bits of software. We've shown that this works. But the main thing that Telepathy is, and the main thing that people should focus on, is our Dbus API. So unusual for free software projects, we've actually written a lot of specification, right? We have a huge API document which explains how all of this stuff is supposed to work and how it fits together. And I honestly don't care whether you use my code or not. What I care about is that if people start talking to the API on the client end, on the back end, then we can plug things together and they can work. So we can get this integration that's currently missing. So to show it works, we've also written some vertical backends, and we've got some libraries that you can actually use them. The specification, although long, is messy and is complicated, breaks down into some quite fundamental but simple objects. You go to the connection manager, you ask it for connections to your protocols, and then you get channel on that to do communication. So you have an IM channel, a media channel to do a voice call or a video call, or a contact list channel, you know, people you can talk to, this kind of thing. And because we're using Dbus, this is extensible. These objects can implement extra interfaces. So the basic connection idea in Celebrity doesn't require, you know, aliases, avatars, presence, this kind of thing. These are extra interfaces which you can add on to the connection object. And the same thing for channels. You can have things like properties, whether the chat room has a title, you know, how many people are allowed to be in there at a time, who's in the channel. These are interfaces which you add on to the objects. So you have kind of arbitrary combinations of these interfaces and things, so you can get richness to describe complicated IAM protocols. So the sort of main piece of software which I've been working on for the past 18 months or so is our Jabber SMPP backend, which is implemented by Douglas Collabra. It's a very complete implementation of XMPP protocol. It's got all the exciting stuff, whether it's avatars, aliases, multi-user chats, kind of thing. And got support for Google Talk voice calls. And also, I think, the first implementation of the jingle. The Google confused issues by producing something called LibJingle, which doesn't speak jingle. It speaks Google Talk. And then the standard is called Jingle. So we invent the standard, and we invent Google's stuff. The standard lets you do multiple stream calls, multiple direction calls, this kind of thing, and more importantly, video calling. So I think we're one of the first implementations of that jingle video calling. We've got some other protocol backends, some guys in Calabria, some guys in the community working on these things. We've got a rendezvous, I think they're called Bonjour, whatever it's called this week. Yep. Yeah. It was mentioned in the Avati talk, actually. Link over SMPP stuff. I've got an IRC backend, which is called IDLE. So you can do IRC chats, you know, channels, etc. And I have an MSN backend called Butterfly, which is written in Python. So, yeah, I mean, most of the other stuff is Glib, kind of C programs. But that's an example that you can just use whatever language you want, whatever's best for you. Anything that you can have on Dbus, you can write Celebrity stuff in. So here's the Steam engine, or when it's not working, or maybe a 10% efficiency, Steam engine. this is a kind of helper program. So it's not exactly a Celebrity client, but it kind of sits somewhere off to the side. And you can point it at your media channel, and it can pick up the information from the other end, you know, the candidates that are being used, you know, for connections, the codecs that you want to use, and then it takes care of loading up G2 modules, sorting out the pipeline, and actually streaming the network packets and streaming the audio. That's a diagram of that kind of thing happening. There are happy contacts on the far end. You've got a SSD backend, which is speaking the signaling protocol. You've got the stream engine, which is talking to that over Dbus. RTP is coming in here, and comes out here. And all the UI has to do is literally say, this guy, call him, video, go. And magic happens, and it all works brilliantly, usually. We also produce some libraries. We've got something which is called LibTelepathy, which is a stupid name because it's the Telepathy Glib client bindings. But that would make a really long name. And we're kind of sorting that out so it's not quite so rubbish and it's automatically generated out of our spec and this kind of thing. Telepathy Python gives you server and client side kind of method stubs and helper functions and stuff to make it easy to write Python scripts, Python backends which use Telepathy. Telepathy Glib is a kind of new take on Telepathy which should let you do server side connection managers as well as client side stuff. So one of the things I've come across a lot in this project is people who sort of come onto the IT channel and go, what the hell are you doing? Why don't you just make a library? What's this Dbus crap? Or, you know, why are you doing this? Did the game exist? All of your problems are solved? Or why didn't you take games protocols? And this kind of thing. I can say that 4 or 5 years ago, I did actually try the approach to make a shared library of protocol stuff. So, you know, make an API similar to telepathy, but rather than Dbus API, make it, you know, a C API or C++ API or something. And I got basically stonewalled by everyone who was working on anything related to related with IAM. And the game guys were like, yeah, that's cool, you can do that if you want to help other people use our code, because our code's much better. And the sort of KDE Compete guys were like, well, yeah, you could do that. I mean, obviously, make it QT, and then you know, people can use our code, because our code's really cool. And we won't use it unless it's QT and this kind of thing. So basically, it just doesn't work. The Dbus is the kind of facilitator here. The ability to just split things apart and have this loose coupling, so you can actually just swap things around. You can use different implementations of things. Is essential for telepathy to actually work. And also, having a library for your client, like libgame is separated into UI and libgame. Libgame has got all of the logic and logging and preferences and accounts and settings and proxies and stuff which you get when you're using the game client. So libgame, you can take and put a different UI on it, but it still behaves like game. It is game. It exports games APIs. And it doesn't address the sort of wider problem, the duplication of effort, the integration to the desktop, this kind of thing. And also, when we started off 18 months ago, we did have a look at games protocol code. Game has some of the best implementations of various protocols, like the AOL, RTQ stuff. The MSN code's pretty good as well, this kind of thing. But at the time we looked at it, it was difficult to separate the protocol code from the kind of policy machinery, the kind of core of game. So we thought we'd kind of start off with a simpler example and just code up the SMTP backend. And we've subsequently kind of overtaken what games got for SMTP, but I hope at some point somebody will go back and look at maybe their AOL backend, and we can see that as a telepathy connection manager at some point. So just because we didn't do it doesn't mean it's bad. If somebody wants to do it, that would be cool. Telepathy's API, as I sort of mentioned, doesn't expose the kind of policy machine or doesn't enforce how you use the protocols. It's supposed to be the line that you draw above the protocol code without enforcing how you're using it. So you get access to hopefully all the features of the protocol. I'm trying to avoid falling into the trap of writing the abstraction in a way that you just kind of get the lowest denominator. You can't really do anything properly. You end up with just really basic presence, really basic messaging. So Dbus helps with that because you can extend stuff with interfaces. You can do flexible stuff. And how you use it is decided by you as sort of on the client end. So all of this makes the Telepathy API useful for other stuff besides just clients. Right? You can use it for bots or websites or server gateways, this kind of thing. I'm seeing some cool stuff going on. People trying to use Telepathy in completely different ways I haven't thought of, which kind of makes me feel good because it shows that I'm possibly doing the right thing. So Telepathy is getting some integration into Node. Very recently, they merged in a branch, which we've been helping with a bit, to make Gossip use Telepathy backends. So you can get multiple protocol support in Gossip. You can log on to IRC channels from Gossip. And you also get our cool stuff, like watching video support, which just works. So you put in some pretty simple UI code, hook up some DBS methods, and there you go, video calling. More stuff to integrate into Gnome. There's the Galago presence framework. So one thing which Telepathy does is kind of splits everything down into lots of little pieces. Like you've got your MSN connections here, you've got your IRC connections here, and your XMPP connections here. And in fact, people don't really care about which contacts on which account. They care about, bot, snap, whatever, these separate people. So Galago helps putting that together. It can take the presence from contacts on different accounts and coalesce them into person objects. And you can get those in your address book or your panel or whatever you want. So we've got a bridge called Telepathy Feed, which takes the Telepathy stuff, puts it into Galago. And that's the API which sort of exists in Gnome to do this kind of thing. KDE side, there are these guys from the Nokia Technology Institute, or NDT, or Institute of Nokia Technology, in Brazil. The Tapioca project was that's similar goals to our project. I think kind of there's some cross-pollination of ideas that Guadec took up a few years ago, and they went off and started doing the same kind of thing. We didn't even know about it. So we came to a point where we had our spec and we had some implementations, and so did they. But they're on board now with our specification. They're adopting our specification, and they're doing some great work producing some card libraries for languages which we're not working on directly. So that they've got some GDIP stuff, but they've also got some Qt stuff and some C# stuff, which is really cool to see. Also in KDE, we have the Decibel project. So we have this idea of a mission control as like a kind of central hub, which not your connection managers, but your online, or manages your presence and responds to incoming events and launches the right UI program. And Decibel project is making a policy daemon for mission control, which is called Houston. So starts your connection managers up, stores your account details, puts you online when network manager says you're online, puts you offline when network manager says you're offline, that kind of stuff. And APIs for doing stuff like starting up calls. Big guys were very enthusiastic about telepathy when I spoke to them in Academy. They started hacking away at the committee for KDE4 to do stuff like stuff with telepathy. They have a sort of protocol plugin which speaks to the telepathy backends. And then another guy is actually looking at taking all of the Capete protocol plugins and exposing those as a connection manager. They kind of split the code in Capete into the back end and the front end stuff, and you can reuse a lot of it in the sort of telepathy world field. They've helped out with the Tapioca stuff as well, feeding Qt stuff back to that project. And this is all happening kind of by itself, and it's really cool. So telepathy is the basis of the instant messaging and voice over IP stuff on the Nokia 770 internet tablet. They're using Gabel, formerly Stream Engine, formerly known as Voice Engine, and Galago to do the presence and the streaming, this kind of thing. And then they put their own UI on top of that. So that's Nokia's selling advantage. They've got their UI. And telepathy is the ideal architecture for that. They've got the open source stuff in the back end, and they can just stick their own UI in it, and they're really happy. And so they've been supporting a lot of development. Nokia N800, just out. Is using our Gabel support for video calling, and it's a world first. And hopefully I can show you that working later. We've also been playing with some OLPC prototypes, which is really good fun. We've brought our stack onto those, and we've got it working. I've made video calls working, and we're looking at getting our link local backend working to do peer-to-peer connections and also group chats and video calls and stuff over the mesh network. So that's pretty exciting stuff. And telepathy is kind of exactly what they want, because if you've got 10 laptops, then you can sort of do peer-to-peer stuff using that backend. If you've got 1,000 laptops and a server, you can use the same client code, different backends, and use it all with the server. So I think we've got something really good to bring to the project. Something which I've been talking about at conferences and haven't quite got around to coding yet, but I think it's so awesome it's worth mentioning. This telepathy can kind of solve the problem that people run into. So Abbeyverse and Inkscape and stuff has got collaboration support. They load up an XMPP library and make a server connection, or they do their own TCP socket stuff or this kind of thing. And it's tricky for them. They have to do all this protocol code, and it's probably not as good as our code, but it would be good if they could use our code too. So the cunning plan is that you have a telepathy channel type, which is just for bunging application-specific stuff from one guy to another. If you both have the same application, if you're both on telepathy, then just hook something up and send over TCP or UDP or D-bus messages, and suddenly we have all the technology to do NAT punching, peer-to-peer connections, this kind of thing, and the people who are doing the collaboration stuff could just concentrate on what they want to do. And telepathy also gives you the advantage of not tying that into one protocol. The XMPP backend can do the application data channel stuff with an extension to that protocol. The MSN backend can extend MSN to do that. If you've got two telepathy MSN connection managers, if you've got the AOL off-go protocol, then you can do that as well. So these protocols are all extensible. We can present the same API upwards to the applications, and they can literally just go, here's Jane in my contact list. Let's edit this document. Coming soon. So here's a bit of an example, which I've written in Python. We used to joke that telepathy would let you write an IM client in 10 lines of Python. if you take all the comments out and wrap all of the lines and unwrap all of the lines, then this does actually come out to 10 lines of code. But it would be a bit of a stretch of imagination to call it an IAM client. I've decided to not use the telepathy libraries for this, so you can see exactly what's going on. A lot of the kind of fluff on screen is just because of debug. Right? We have all these service names and object paths, which get a bit long. So I put the interesting stuff in bold. Right? You connect the PDM session bus, and we get an object that represents the connection manager. If it's not running, where we first send a message, dbus will launch it. So the first thing we do is request a connection. We want Jamba Protocol. There's my exciting host name, Express Account, and Master Dispatcher. And this is the connection manager interface, which has this method on it. If that works, it will return us a bus name and object path for the connection object itself. So we get from dbus minding, we get an object recognizing that. So we have a connection object. The spec says we call connect, and that will put you online. And if you're writing a real client, you wouldn't put these three, right? You wouldn't be trying to fit onto three slides, and you did something clever like waiting for the signal that says gone online. And but because I'm running Wi-Fi on my laptop, then sleep 3 works fine. Another thing telepathy has is handles. So we have these integers which represent stuff like a contact or a chat room or a contact list. So handle type 1, magic number, means a contact. So this is the file with B2, test 2, and we get an array that has that handle in it. Next thing we do, request a channel. So we want a text channel. It's got a contact. It's the handle we just got. Ignore that. It's to do with whether the channel was as a result of you doing something or a result of an incoming message. It's whether you need to launch a new UI for it or whether it's already dealt with. So it's already dealt with, so it's off. But and that's on the connection interface, on the connection object. And if that works, we get back an object path. And then we can ask the mindings for an object, proxy object representing that channel. And here we get really exciting. We call send. Zero means it is a normal message versus an action or a notice or whatever. And that's the text channel interface. And there's my exciting message. And then we sign off. So if the gods of demo are smiling at me, then I should be able to run this code and an exciting message will pop up. Wait 3 seconds. Oh, there we go. Got some flashing. Yay. So on the second console here, I've got Gabble, which signed on and did a lot of stuff and spoke to the server and at some point sent the message. Yeah, so Jabber turns out to be quite verbose because it's based on XML. That means it's extensible. Yeah, there's the message. 20 pages down. Hey, telepathy works. And of course, my gossip client here is actually also running telepathy. So that went out to Gabble and to Wildfire and then came back into Gabble and then some messages happened and gossip also speaks telepathy now. So that was the simple demo, the one which I was expecting to work. That's good. Here's the exciting demo. So this here, which you may have noticed me put there at the start, is a Nokia N-Series N800. And this is also running Gabble. This is also running Stream Engine. This also has a webcam, which is pointed at you lovely people. I checked it out of dark this morning, but apparently Gossip has support for video calling now. It sort of worked. My webcam didn't work this morning, so I can show you video going from here to here, and the audio works, but we can't get video the other way. That doesn't matter, because you can see yourself up here when it works. Let's see how that one goes. So, there's my device. I'm signed on as test 2, he's signed on as test 1. And we have a little microphone here, because telepathy is magic, and tells you the capabilities that the contact has. I click the call button. And everything works perfectly. Wonderful. Okay, so that's basically the end of my set piece. I've got the exciting echo here because audio going around. But there's some blog about the project, wiki on freedata.org, IRC channel on Freenode, mailing list, etc. So, any questions?
Have you looked into
like
non-IP networking systems like GSM and CDMA and things like that? What might be involved in
integrating
those kinds of things as well?
Right, that's actually something the DataDog guys are really interested in. So the question was, have I looked into things which aren't just IP-based, whatever it be, and IM stuff, something like an actual cell phone or, you know, controlling a real phone kind of thing. Basically, the API should be flexible enough to let you do that. I mean, if somebody could control a real phone, or they can put GSM commands down a serial line to their, you know, mobile handset or something, then Tessie should just be able to do that for you. Right, yeah. So that's a sort of Python hack craziness. I think it works. It speaks to some mobile phones and lets you do SMSs. So they'll come up in Gossip and you can put phone numbers in. I haven't tried it myself, so I don't know how thin it is, but yeah, that's the kind of thing you can do. So the API should be flexible enough to let you do this kind of thing and just bring it all together in the same UI.
So you mentioned that you wanted AbbeyWord to possibly use it.
Right,
I was
yeah.
just told to let you know we have someone working on telepathy back and forth.
That's great. So right, we need to kind of catch up to provide the kind of machinery for that. We've got some good ideas about how the spec should look, and we've got some code to implement it. We just need to kind of spend some time and hook that all together, and we should just be able to provide some magic. Data in here, data out here, kind of stuff. Cool.
Any particular reason you didn't reuse the Opal library?
We haven't implemented any SIP stuff yet.
I'm sorry?
We haven't implemented any SIP stuff, so we haven't had the call to use that.
Okay.
For the streaming stuff, we use GStreamer because it's awesome. Nokia are using GStreamer on here, so they have all the plugins and codecs and stuff already. And the Farsight library that the Stream Engine uses is based on GStreamer, so it picks up any codecs that you have, any sources, things, and drops them together. It usually works.
Hi. One of the most glaring omissions, it seems to me, that a lot of the IM clients have had to date has been screen sharing, like being able to see someone else's screen, not that video, but their actual screen.
Yeah.
Is that something that's on your radar, or is that something that's covered by your application data sharing that you mentioned before?
It could be done by either. So the thing about the application channel stuff is that if you already have an application that has its own wire protocol, then you want to hook that over IM, then that makes it very easy for you. So if you have like a VNC server or Vino or something, a VNC viewer, then you can just ask Tepathy to get TCP from one to the other, and then you kind of get that for free. But in some protocols, like MSN, has got built-in sharing. And to support that properly in Tepathy, we'd need to come up with an abstraction. So the MSN backend would do the MSN protocol, and it would present the Tepathy thing for screen sharing. It's something which can be made with an interface, and it can be supported in either of those ways.
So what I'm hearing is that's kind of like an application of telepathy, not part of the protocol?
If we wanted to support a protocol particular way of doing it, we'd need to support it in Telepathy API. If we just cared about getting it from one telepathy user to another telepathy user, you could stick VNC over the application data stuff. Right, yeah, but it would look like this. This camera's not great. this is H.263, so it's pretty boring stuff. One thing we need to actually look at is turning Stream Engine, making it into a library rather than a process. So it's really difficult for the UI to plug in all of the stuff it wants, choose the codec, you know, see what's going on, So these are supposed to be volume meters at the bottom here, but the information is in three dimensions, not in Goblin, so it can't pick that up. So we want to make that into a library so you can do things like choose different protocols. And there's a lot of kind of hard-coded stuff in Pipe Streamation because it's, well, it's an architectural error, but we're going to fix it really shortly. So Goblin won't have to call Streamation, it can actually just load it in a library that binds GStream and FFC together. And then you can choose different codecs and this kind of thing.
Yeah, I was just wondering, with the design of the APIs, how have you, and I guess alluding to the psychic sort of idea, I mean, obviously you're catering for current clients and possibly near future. I mean, things like, I guess, interesting topologies, you know, point to multipoint. The other thing is things like, I don't know, being able to, I'm not sure what this like security, like through certificates and that sort of thing. Is your API flexible enough to add those sort of things in the future?
I hope so. Because, I mean, I kind of looked at what was going on at the moment and tried to make sure that the API covered the common use cases and the common protocols and that we weren't sort of clipping the wings of anything in a really obvious way. But the sort of the fundamental concepts of the connection manager, the connection, the channel, provided those hold, then you can kind of sort anything else out by extending the API. So, I mean, this is something that, you know, as the kind of very rock bottom, you could just have something saying XML comes out the side here, your client over here chucks XML and it sends over the wire. Obviously, that's a bit of a hack, but at any level, you can do that and add protocol-specific magic, extra interfaces, and if the UI understands the interface and the backend implements it, then you can do stuff that I completely didn't think of when I was writing the spec. So, yeah, I hope it's extensible enough to do this kind of thing, add stuff. I mean, there's functions which you don't really want to put in the base spec, like Yahoo lets you wobble the window around the other guy. Yeah, whatever. We can have, you know, Org for desktop, telepathy, channel interface, window wobbling, and the Yahoo people can write that interface and implement it, and if you guys want the windows to wobble around, they can support it. But yeah, I don't really care. Yeah.
Can I just say, you should probably talk to Andrew Tannenbaum about designing modular, loosely coupled architectures, because he seems to share a lot of your ideas. But can I compare it with, say, Asterix, which is a single monolithic memory image. It's multi-threaded. It has lots of threads running in the same memory space, so it's impossible to debug and impossible to make a reliable system unless you get every single pointer right. But Asterix is very fast and it's very efficient, and it puts the packets out, you know, within 1 millisecond every time of the right time. If you were to re-implement Asterix on top of Dbus and Telepathy, which is not ridiculously stupid suggestion, how would it compare? I mean, would you talk about 10% time overhead like Andrew Tannenbaum does, or would you be 50%,
100%? Right, that's a really good question. The answer is, I'm not entirely certain. Dbus is a kind of, it was the kind of olive branch that we needed to get Node and KDE together and actually get stuff in common. It's written to be a kind of, you know, generic object type system to be easy to bind to other languages. And I must say that the design is cool. The implementation is not great. It could definitely be made easier to use, more efficient, and this kind of thing. So I think if you were trying to optimize the system, you'd start with Dbus and kind of cut out the, you know, copies and, you know, goes from here into this here and then sends over a unit socket and then gets copied and then passed and unpassed and copied and then sends over a socket here. So you're using GDIP bindings here, so you've got to put it in this memory and then you copy it into a G value and then you copy it into a hash table here and then it will kind of, yeah. It's not, like, hugely efficient. But on the other hand, we get, you know, sensible amounts of performance and it's not too slow on here. The main reason it took a couple of seconds to ring is because for some reason my entire address book gets copied in vcard text string format from a database into this UI before it rings. It's not my problem. But I think packet-wise, you know, if you're actually in a call, then there's only one person doing the actual packet chucking for a call. So that's pretty efficient. As efficient as that process is, as efficient as DQ is, which is pretty good. So the overhead there is not going to be very big. But you'll get the Dbus stuff flying around when you're actually signaling a new call, so you know, new codecs, new candidates, this kind of thing. So obviously that's slower. I guess it's probably a couple, like, maybe an order of magnitude slower than like just doing it in one process. But on the other hand, that doesn't really matter. That's like the setup. It takes, you know, 0.01 of a second or 0.001 of a second, and then the call is up and you're going. So I don't think the actual architecture would slow down if you were trying to do something like, you know, do asterisks with telepathy or you know, try and put calls between different protocols. I think you can do that pretty efficiently, and the first place to look to make it better would be Dbus. I actually have some really cool ideas about making Dbus faster. I just need to find some time, or maybe like 5 other people. By the way, we're hiring. Any more questions?
The tech support, just looking at the web page here, it's soon.
Yeah. So Nokia recently wanted TIFF stuff, and we started writing something for them. And then it decided they didn't, and it disappeared inside a big legal rabbit warren somewhere inside Nokia and thousands of lawyers. Hopefully it will come out. If it doesn't, I think we'll get bored and just hook up a zip library and our connection manager library and do it ourselves. So I'd expect to see that sometime this year, hopefully within 6 months, maybe sooner. Yeah, it's really, if you're writing in Python, then the telepathy Python kind of base Python and stuff make it really quick to sort of hack together a connection manager, and then you can make it cool. That works an ISE connection manager in like, you know, 100 lines, and you can send a message, join channel. So it's not a lot of times if you've got the protocol library and you've got the telepathy library. Any other questions? All right, well, thanks for your time.